You know, a couple weeks ago when Brother Derek texted and asked if I would preach for him one of the services, I said, I texted back and said yes. And then I immediately knew had something come to mind as far as a message. Or I had a word. It wasn't a message at that point. It was just a word. And it had to do, lately, and I'm sure all of you have been the same. This past year and 10 months or so has been pretty trying for our country. For that matter, the past 2 years for our world. It's been a very trying time, and I won't say trying, I'll say challenging. It's been very challenging for all of the entire world, but especially for our country. I don't see what's going on over there across the pond. I see what's going on here around me. And I know that we've been challenged. And I know that we've faced life and death situations throughout this past year and 10 months or so. I think about people that right now in our church, in our midst, are facing life and death challenges. And I thought about Sister Beth. And when I thought about Sister Beth, like I say, that one word just comes to mind. And that word is courage. And I questioned, is that the message that I need to do this next time? Because I had two messages. And then I came by. The following, well, last Sunday night, I actually shared with Brother Bobby what I was going to. He says, "Where are you going to preach from?" I said, "Well, I'm going to preach from here." And then Brother Derek gets up and he preaches one chapter over from where I'm going to be. And I'm like, "Oh boy, here we go. It's on now, I can tell." But then I go out and I came in Monday morning, and as I passed by, I looked at the sign that was on the billboard out here. And it said this on the sign. It said, "Courage is fear that has said its prayers." Courage is fear that has said its prayers. And today I want to speak about courage, but today I want to say, I think about, I could name off names sitting in this room this morning about people that have had to be courageous in this past year and 10 months or so. But I won't do that because I could look around this room and I could point out every one of you, because every one of you have had to face things through the past year and 10 months and throughout lifetime for that matter that have been life-changing, life-altering events in our lives. So I won't do that. I won't just name off names other than Sister Beth, of course. And I think about the courage that she had as she faced that dreaded disease we call cancer. I never really saw her get down. I saw her get down because she had to ask for help at times. That was the only time that she ever got down. She didn't get down because of what she had. She got down because she was a proud person. She didn't want to ask for help from anybody. But I think about the courage in which she faced the battle that was ahead of her. And by the way, she didn't lose the battle. She won the war because she's in heaven now. So she didn't lose that battle with cancer. She won the war, and she resides with the Lord now. So today, none of you are in this Bible. There's none of you that was written about in this Bible. It was all our time. So I had to think about courage, and today I'm going to speak about the courage of a man that was extraordinarily courageous at a very young age. I'm going to speak about a man by the name of David. That was the first person that came to mind when I thought about David. Of course, I think about Jesus, but he knew the outcome of things. Us in our flesh, we don't know the outcome of things. We can't see the future. So I thought about David, a man just like you, and I. He wore flesh. Of course, Jesus wore flesh, but there again, he knew the outcome of what had to be done, what was going to be done. But I think about David, and I think about the courage that he showed. And I'm going to try and share a little bit of that with you today. Before we do, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity I have to stand here this morning. God, it takes courage for me to just stand here this morning. And Lord, without you, I can't do it. So I pray that you'd gird me up this morning, that you'd strengthen me. But Lord, mostly I pray that you would just use me and work through me. Use the words that I speak to not be my words, Lord, but the words of your book, your Bible, your holy Bible. God, I pray it would be one that would touch the hearts and souls of your people. Lord, that it be a message that would encourage them, build them up, and strengthen them. And Lord, I pray that it would be a message that if there's one that's here today or listening online, that they're lost and they don't know you. I pray today would be that day of salvation for them. Lord, I pray you forgive me where I've failed you and sinned against you. Lord, just take me out of the way this morning and just use me. For I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start off with a very familiar story. In 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. When you get there, you can say amen. Of course, it's a very familiar, like I say, scripture. It's about where that David and Goliath off. But we're going to back up to the beginning of the chapter, and we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. And verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched in the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side and Israel on a mountain on the other, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. Was 6 cubits and a span. He was a big guy. Really big guy. Then we're going to jump down to verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, of course he challenged them. I skipped over that in verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I not a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul, choose ye a man for you, and let him come down to me. He's challenging them. One man, one on one, let's challenge each other. Of course, he was bigger than most folks around. He was a big bully. You know, we see a lot of that, but most times it's this group teaming up on this one person. But then in verse 11 it says, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And then we jump over to verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Here's a young man. Now, we're going to back up here in just a minute to chapter 16. But for the moment, we have this young man. Of course, David, at this point in time, has already been anointed to be king of Israel later on in life. But he's not there yet. He has already been in the house of Saul, playing the harp for him, because the Spirit of the Lord has left Saul. And the Bible says in verse 16, or chapter 16, I'll find it, and verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So David had to, went in, and he was playing the harp for Saul to soothe his spirit. You know, I think about the music playing, and I think about as my mom was in the hospice house. They had something called music therapy. And an individual would come around and would play whatever. It may have been a flute, it may have been a guitar, whatever. And that was soothing to her. So this isn't a new practice now. It started way back. The music therapy, we see it with Saul, that it soothed his soul, it soothed his spirit, because he was troubled. You know, it had a lonely feeling to have the Spirit of the Lord to leave him. And I can't, you know, I hope I never sense that. I hope I never feel that. I've felt down and out before, but I've never felt that the Lord has ever left me. So the thing I want to look at today is the courage of David. And I want to go and look at 1 Samuel 16, beginning in verse 16. Now, this is right after when David is being summoned to play the harp for Saul. And it says, "Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Now, remember, David is just a young boy at this time. He come out of the fields. He was a shepherd. That's what he was. He knew how to play the harp. He was a shepherd boy. When Samuel went looking for the promise, the king to anoint, he went to the house of Jesse. Jesse brought in all of his sons. He said, here's this one, starting at the oldest and going right on down the line. Samuel said, he's not here. This is not the one that the Lord has chosen. And he said, you got any more? He says, well, I got my youngest. He's out. He's a shepherd boy. He said, we'll wait. Bring him on in. So he brings in David, and Samuel said, that's the one. That's the one. That's the one that's going to be anointed king of Israel. So the ceremony took place, the pouring of the oil over his head and all, and he was anointed. Now, this was mostly a private matter at this point in time. But my question is, when we go back to 1 Samuel 16, and we look at verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty man valiant, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. I got a question for everybody this morning. What is it that other believers' vision of us is? I look at this verse, and this guy had a vision of David. I believe it was a vision of what David was. I believe it was a vision of what David would become. You know, he was a young kid, just come out of the fields. here to play the harp for Saul to soothe the spirit. He hadn't. Why was he a mighty, valiant man? Well, we know later on, if we look over in chapter 17, that David himself spoke about killing a bear and a lion that had attacked his sheep. So we know that he was a defender of his sheep. But as far as I know, up to that point, that was the only thing that was notable in his life besides him being a shepherd boy and playing a harp. And that's, Brother Andy and I talked about this. And it's assumed that this servant knew David, maybe knew him personally and knew what he had done in the field in killing this lion and this bear. But he had a vision for what David could be. And, you know, I thought about that. He thought about the vision of the courage that David would possess. And I wonder about us today. What is the vision that people have about us? Other believers now. What is the vision that other believers have about us and our courage? You know, like I said, I've seen many of you face trials and tribulations in your life. Life and death situations I've seen you face. And can I say, I see great courage sitting in a congregation today. I see great courage. Because you've been through some battles that I've not been through in life. I've been through some battles in life, yes, but nothing in comparison to what a lot of you have been through, or what you are going through even now. I've not been through those battles. But I see your courage. I see your presence here today. That says something to me. That gives me a vision of who you are, where you stand with God. And I like the way that he ended the last part of this. And the Lord is with him. I hope that's what people see when they see us, the vision of us. I hope that they can see that the Lord can say about me. And I hope you can turn the fingers on yourself and say this. I hope the Lord, the people around me, the other believers can say, I see courage and the Lord with him, or the Lord is with her. I hope that's what other believers see in us. Because that's important to me, what other people think of me. You know, I know it shouldn't matter. I've said before, well, I don't care what you think about me. I care about what the Lord thinks about me, but that's not true. We really do. We worry about what people think about us. So I hope that everyone that comes in contact with me, as far as believers, can say, the Lord is with him. Now, I want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Now, this is the same David that the servant had already told Saul, oh, he's a mighty man of valor. He is a man of war. He had said this. He had said this about him. And I want to know, I can't understand why Saul, I can understand why Saul would look at this young kid standing there before him and says, well, I'm going to go out and face that big old guy. I'm going to go out and face that giant. But when I look at that, I think about Saul looking at the outward man. At this young kid standing there before him. Of course, we go over and read about where David tried to wear his armor, and it wouldn't fit him because Saul was a big guy too. But Saul looked at the outward appearance of this young man, and he didn't look at the spirit that was within him. You see, all of Israel had backed down from this giant. Said they had fled. They had went backwards. They were dismayed by him. Greatly afraid, it said. But here's this young man that says, I'll fight him. I'll go out and do battle with that giant. Saul didn't look at the inward spirit. And if you will, I want you to turn to your Bibles. Find it in a second. I thought I wrote it down. I'll get there. First Samuel 16 and verse 13. This is where David was anointed king. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. You see, that's what Saul was missing in his life. That's what David had. That's what Saul couldn't see, what David had on the inside. He couldn't see that Spirit of the Lord that strengthened him, that encouraged him, that girded him up to go and fight against this giant. Now I want us to look at another thing. I want us to look at what is the vision of non-believers towards David. Of course, we don't have to look far. We go to 1 Samuel 17. We go to verse 41. And it says, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beast of the field. He didn't think much of David. He didn't think much of David at all. Now I want to turn this around again. He was an unbeliever. He believed in many gods. He didn't believe in the one true and living God. What do non-believers have the vision of you and your courage? Well, as I said before, we face many battles in life. I go back to a time that when Tammy and I first got married. During that first year of our marriage, I lost my dad, I lost my mom, and I lost my best friend. I had to stand like this and do part of the message for my dad, the message for my mom, and the entire message for my best friend. And Tammy looked at me, and of course Tammy had been through a very trying time in her life only 2 years earlier. And she looked at me and she said this. She said, you know, you deal with things with death differently than I do. Now, to make up the background of that, Tammy wasn't saved at that point in time. And death was hard because there was no hope. There was no hope for a future. But then she got saved. And then God reminded her of her son as a young boy coming to her and saying, "Mama, I want to get baptized because I got saved." She'll tell you, she didn't take him to church, but there was an old man that come by the house and picked him up and took him to church with him. And through that old man, God spoke to Robert during a lesson. And Robert heard the voice of God and he answered. He got saved as a young boy. Tammy deals with death differently. It's still hard. Death's hard on all of us. Don't matter if you're a believer or not a believer, death is hard. But the way we deal with death, the way that I deal with death, you know, I lost my brother 5 years ago this year. My younger brother, my only sibling. But I have a hope. I'll see him again. I'll see him again. So yes, I'm sad that he's not here. But I still have hope that I'll see him again. As many of you that are in this room today have lost loved ones, and you have that same hope in you because your loved one was saved. And I hope the people around you, the non-believers around you, see that hope in you. They see that vision of you and the courage in which you face death, and they got to want to ask the question, where does that come from? How are they dealing with this? How are they so strong in dealing with this? This is the worst of the worst. But they're uplifted. They're rejoicing. How are they doing that? And by asking questions, they find answers through God's Word. If we give it to them, it gives us opportunities, is what I'm telling you. It gives us opportunity to share the gospel. That's why at every funeral service I've ever done and ever will do, I'll present the gospel. Because there are people there searching for hope where there is no hope. Death is permanent. Death is final. Here. There is an eternity. There's an eternity in heaven or there's an eternity in hell. But I have hope that those that I've known that knew the Lord, I'm going to see them again. I'm going to see them again. Now I want to look at David's vision. What was David's vision of his courage? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32, and David said, said Saul, we've read this before. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And then we move over to verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." What was David's vision of him, of his courage? It wasn't his courage. He wasn't fighting. He understood that. He understood that the battle was not his to fight. You see, we're in a spiritual battle in this country right now today, bigger than it's ever been. There is a right side and there is a wrong side. And I'm afraid that there's more leaning to the wrong side now than there is to the right side. But you know what? I see hope in that as well. Because I see that that's all written about in the back of the book. Bobby may hit on that tonight, I don't know. But it's all written. I know what's coming. I have a hope that soon the rapture is going to take place and I'm going to be out of this place. I'm not going to have to see the mess that's going on here today that I see. Because it's a mess. It is a true mess. In closing, you know, I believe David wrote about where his courage came from in a psalm. And I think we find that psalm in Psalm 23. Very familiar psalm to everybody. And it goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, David knew the shepherd because he stated it in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a bold statement. When you know that you have the Lord God of heaven, the one that created all of the heavens and the earth, all that is, he created it by the simply speaking of his word. That's powerful. That's who my Lord is. That's who my shepherd is. That's who's looking over me. You see, David understood what a shepherd was about, what had a shepherd's duty was. He knew what a shepherd had to do. And he knew what his responsibilities were. And he said this, the Lord is my shepherd. I got somebody that's looking out for me. And he's the best, is what he said, basically. He's the best. And you know, I think about David as he went down. You see it? The reason I say that I believe this after this place, this battle with Goliath, because he went down into a valley to fight, the valley of Elah. He fought Goliath in that valley. And I look at verse 4, and he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Friends, I'm here to tell you this morning. The Lord's my shepherd. I know he's there to protect me. And I've been through situations in life, and you, some of you, are going through that valley of the shadow of death right now. I'm here to tell you that the Lord is with you. He's there to comfort you. He's there to prepare a table before your enemies. Your enemy may be health issues. Your enemy may be mental health issues. I don't know what it is. Your issues may be with addiction. It may be, I don't know what your issue is, what's going on in your life. Some of you I do, yes. But some of you I don't. I don't know. You don't talk about it. And I don't know. But whatever it is, if you believe in Christ, if you've trusted in Him, trust that He's with you even through that valley of the shadow of death. Is there hope? Yep. Because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever one day. And I hope if you're here this morning, you can say the same thing. If you can't say that the Lord is your shepherd this morning, I encourage you. Whether you're here, whether you're online, wherever you may be, I would simply ask that you trust in the Lord this morning. Call out from your heart to God's heart. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for me on that cross at Calvary. I know that on the third day He came up out of that grave, and I fully trust by faith. We're talking about faith this morning. By faith, I trust that You can save me, that You can be my shepherd. And I want You to be my shepherd. Would You give me that assurance this morning? I ask You in Jesus' name. I pray You've done that. I pray that if you're online watching that You've done that. If not, do it today. Because see, there is an evil out there that we have to face. That evil's called death. We're going to all face it one day. Like the preacher said before, none of us get out of here alive unless the rapture takes place. And if you're not saved, you're not going to be a part of that rapture. So I ask you this morning, make sure that the Lord is your shepherd. Make sure that He's going to take you through to the other side whenever your time's up. We'd stand. We're going to have an invitation hymn. If you need to come this morning, I'll take the Bible and I'll show you how you can be saved if you don't know already. If you don't want to come, if you want to just bow your head right where you're at. Simple prayer from your heart to God's heart. Would you do that this morning? Maybe where you're at this morning, you say, God, I need You to strengthen my courage. I don't have the courage to fight this battle, but I know that You're with me. And I pray that You would just be there. Hold my hand and take me through this battle that I'm facing. Just as I am. That's how we have to come to God, just as we are. Thank You for Your attention, Your presence this morning. I pray that You've been encouraged this morning, that the battle's not ours. It's His. Turn it over to Him. Turn it over to Him. We can't face the giant by ourselves because the giant's bigger than us. But we can face that giant with the Lord on our side because He's bigger than the giant. Any word before we're dismissed this morning? Tonight, 6 o'clock, y'all get to hear some good preaching. Brother Bobby will be here. I appreciate y'all being here and bearing with me. We'll close in prayer now. Brother Andy, well, you've already done it, ain't you? Let's see, who am I going to pick? I'm going to pick on Brother Bobby now.